Hi, everybody. I'm Matt.
I'm John.
I'm Shirley.
And welcome to the Nerds Domain Podcast. This week, we're going to talk about what we're doing in our lives that's geeky and fun. We have a topic or two beyond that as well. Let's go ahead and get started. So we're down a guy tonight. Jesse's got a birthday and wanted to go do birthday things.
Jeez, so, Jesse.
So it's me and Shirley and Johnny tonight. So, guys, what have we been doing lately? What have you guys been doing that's geeky and fun?
Well, I've mainly been doing, like, marketing stuff. So I've been trying to brush up on my Google+, Facebook, trying to look into some new social media marketing. So I guess that's kind of geeky.
Okay. Reading any books, playing any games?
I'm still on Wheel of Time. So right now I think I'm on book number 4 or 5.
You're on 4.
Yeah, I'm on 4. And then, podcasts. Been listening to The Last Frequency by the Dystopic Boys on Dystopic Radio Network. So,
okay.
And then.
Yeah, they were the guys that joined us for our movie draft.
Yeah. The guys, okay. Wendell and Niles. So, movies, we're going to be talking about it later, but oh my gosh, Star Trek Into Darkness, that's all I have to say.
Okay. Anything TV-wise you've been watching?
TV-wise, I missed the last two episodes, but I think we were talking about it, Defiance. I'm really liking Defiance. Trying to get in some retro I'm going to start rewatching Battlestar Galactica. And, hey, you know what? I am addicted. We've been watching The X-Files. I'm trying to finish up Heroes.
What is Defiance again? I don't remember that.
It's set in I'd say post-apocalyptic, yeah. But aliens showed up, but it wasn't one alien race, it was a bunch.
Okay.
And they went to war with us, and it stopped, and Defiance is actually what used to be St. Louis.
Yeah.
Okay.
So,
And Johnny, you can catch all of it online. I suggest, it's worth watching.
It's on the Sci-Fi Network. But it's the thing that, like, you know, there's people in France, there's Russians, there's the French, there's the Canadians. It's like something happened to their world, and everybody from this world got on the ships. And so it looks like we got a bunch of different alien races, but it was all the people from this world.
There are a bunch of different alien races, and there are a bunch of different alien cultures.
Yeah.
And part of what happened was that they started terraforming Earth to fit what they wanted.
Mm.
So there are all these weird monsters and, like, it's very different. And it's very post-apocalyptic because travel between towns is dangerous and you stay inside your areas. And
yeah.
There's a lot of dystopic themes to it. It's really, really, really good.
So is the show about humans then? Like, said
it's about Defiance, the city of Defiance, which is run by a human mayor. And this the point of view character came in. He was a drifter kind of scavenger, and he showed up, and the sheriff got killed, and then he was brought in to become the sheriff,
yeah.
And he helped defend. And the town is made up of what, 4 or 5 races?
Yeah,
I think there's like 6 or 7 total races, including humans.
Yeah,
and in Defiance, there's 4 or 5 of them.
Right,
and
okay.
They all have different cultures. Like when this one race, I don't remember what they're called, but when they dishonor their family, they are publicly beaten and sometimes executed through the beating, and that's just accepted. Like their families stand there and watch it happen because that's what's needed to cleanse the family's honor.
Yeah,
interesting.
So at the end of the first episode, just a little bit of spoilers, but this is a couple weeks ago, there's a big fight, and one of this race runs away from the fight. And that's a dishonorment because courage is paramount to their culture. And so when he ran, the leader of their society caught him, and they, you know, had said, hey, this is what's going to happen. And he accepted it. He knew that he had dishonored his family and himself. So he accepted the punishment. And of course, all the humans were like, oh, what's going on? And
because it's basically like it would be the darker Middle Ages for us, where everybody was put upon display.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
You know, shackles and
right.
things like that.
And it's pretty good. I would suggest checking it out.
Yeah.
We did miss the last two since we've been so busy, but something I need to catch up on for sure.
Okay. Yeah.
So, and that's on the Sci-Fi Network.
So, Shirley, you've been watching any West Wing?
Oh, yeah, and West Wing. Good night. Okay, so West Wing.
Because Johnny and I haven't heard enough about West Wing, right,
Oh,
Johnny?
My God.
I hear a lot about West Wing. I enjoyed the show myself.
I hadn't watched it and decided I wanted to start watching it because why not?
Because I love American President. Like, that is one of my favorite movies of all times. And it was the writer of and director of American President that wrote West Wing. Is that correct? Or just the writer?
Aaron Sorkin.
I don't think he had anything to do with American President.
Oh.
Well, you know what? Keep talking because I'll go look it up. So.
Yeah, because I thought that I had read somewhere that they made American President, and then from that show came the idea for West Wing.
Oh, she's right.
And they
Aaron Sorkin.
It. Yeah.
Aaron Sorkin wrote. It was Rob Reiner that directed it, Sorkin wrote American President.
Cool.
Mm-hmm.
Which is kind of awesome because it's, I didn't realize that. So, yeah, I was wrong. Holy crap. Well, then that makes sense. Yeah, so we've been watching a little bit of that. Shirley, you've been any new apps besides Top Hatter?
You know, not really. I really haven't been paying very much attention to my Fire or my iPhone lately. Been really busy, you know, trying to get our marketing off the ground and stay on top of, you know, mainstream and technology that's coming out for that. So I really haven't, except for Top Hatter, the app that I just reviewed. I don't have anymore. I'm just playing the old apps that I've had on here before, which is, you know, Dice with Buddies, which I really like. That's one of my top 10. Dice with Buddies, I'm going to do my top 5. Dice with Buddies, Dragon Veil. Oh my gosh, I love this. You have that Dragon Park, and I did a review of that. Okay, I'm going to do my top 2 because I just did a brain freeze and I don't know. I can't think of the rest of them that I play, but the two that I've been playing the most over the past week is Dragon Veil and Dice with Buddies. So,
okay. All right. Well, Johnny, what about you? Books or movies or games or what are you
doing?
No
reading, movies. Seen a lot of
movies. You just got a new to you tablet. How are you not reading stuff?
Well, the tablet has to stay at home to entertain the 4-year-old. So, I don't really mess with it at all.
So you didn't get a new tablet. Your daughter got a new tablet.
Yeah. Someday I'll get back to reading those 658 free comics that I got from Marvel.
Yeah.
Because the tablet, like, I think our listeners probably heard me complain about this before. My Android phone, which, you know, is fine and great, and I have no issues with it as a phone, is just too small to read Comixology web comics.
Well, the guided view makes up for that a little bit.
It's still not as great on my phone.
Oh yeah,
my phone is tiny.
Yeah,
it's 4 years old now. I need to get a new one. But that's another story altogether. So anyway, the tablet is a 7-inch. It's by Polaroid, and the thing that downside of that is it's a Amazon tablet. I can't use Google Play on it. It will only let me download through the Amazon store. And the Amazon store does not have the same stuff. So
yeah,
that's unfortunate. So
it's a pre Android Amazon tablet.
No, it's not pre Android. It's still Android. Android is its base system, but it is put out by Amazon.
Well, but even Shirley's Fire has access to the Google Play Store.
Because that's how they chose to market it. This is an Amazon-only coded tablet from what I've been able to learn. So it will not allow me to install Google Play on it. We've even tried to do it illegally. You know, people have put the Google Play program online, and you should be able to load that on the tablet and go, but the tablet recognizes the program and will not let it activate.
That's
weird. So I was all excited when I got the tablet because there are, you know, D&D applications. I could put my character sheet on there and, you know, run my character sheet off of that, which I can do off my phone, but the tablet was going to be bigger
yeah.
and more fun.
Yeah.
And it doesn't work that way. And the program I want to use is not on Amazon App Store. So the tablet is not for me. I mean, I read comics on it when I have time, but it's not mine. It's my daughter's, which is fine.
So you've not been reading any books?
I have not. I've not been reading any books at all. It's sad. I kind of feel bad, but I just don't have time. So I have, however, gotten to see four movies in the last 2 weeks. So that was kind of awesome. Iron Man. We went to a local drive-in here in Indy for the Iron Man, Pain and Gain, and Great Gatsby. So I forget. I think Pain and Gain is not on our. Was the
no? It didn't give. It didn't make our list
because we were like recording the week it came out or something. So we decided to leave it off. So I saw Iron Man and I saw Great Gatsby. Those movies were great. Loved them. Everybody should go see them. Baz. Oh, and now I've forgotten his last name.
Baz Luhrmann.
Yeah, Baz Luhrmann, the director of Great Gatsby.
Moulin Rouge.
Romeo and Juliet, and probably other things. But I'm only just discovering that I like this guy. Although I loved Romeo and Juliet with Leonardo DiCaprio as his re-envisioning, making the swords and the guns but calling them or branding them as rapier and sword, and it was just amazing. All the visuals in that movie were amazing. Moulin Rouge, I love the visuals. The story is just kind of blah to me, but I don't want to put it down because it is good. It's just not the best. But Great Gatsby, man. It was amazing. I was drooling. I love the, you guys know, I love the Art Deco 1920s stuff, and the way he blended modern music into those visuals we remixed modern music with the jazz, and then the visuals were just stunning. Like, I was leaning forward in my car seat, you know, I was in the chair of my car, because I had to fill my field of vision with the screen, because it was that awesome. I highly recommend those two movies. Iron Man 3 was, you know, just a great ending to the trilogy. That's what I'm told. It's going to just be a trilogy with Robert Downey Jr.
There's a lot of talk there.
Right. But that movie was good. Great Gatsby was great. Amazing. Everyone go see it. It's not boring at all. Like, you know, it's based on a book. People will say, oh, I don't want to go.
Well, I'd heard a lot of negative reviews for it.
Yeah, they're wrong. They're wrong.
How much is it like Moulin Rouge?
Well, see, it's been years since I watched Moulin Rouge, and it doesn't...
not missing anything.
So it's not fresh in my mind, so I really don't know. I've not read the book. I intend to, now that I've seen the movie, because I cannot read a book and then watch a movie based on it, because it always doesn't match up well enough. And so I dislike the movie because it's not as good as the book. This time I'm not sure. I may be more impressed with the movie, but I'll wait until I read the book. I've been told by people who have read the book that there are differences in the pacing and the way the movie's set up. And the only way I can describe the movie is it's that first hill on a roller coaster without the rest of the roller coaster. There's a slow build as you climb to the top of the hill. And once you hit the top of the hill, it's just this descent into the horrors of humanity, and not the horrors, but the downside of humanity, and like everything spirals out of control, and then the story is over. But I loved it. I mean, I loved every minute of it. It was great, but it was just this, you see this rise of Tobey Maguire's character as he meets the Great Gatsby and gets involved in his life, and then it hits a point and everything is just downhill real fast.
Yeah.
And so it's like one of those slides at a water park that just drops.
Sure. Yeah, that's a good example too. Except there's no line, so you're just climbing the steps.
And then you go on the slide, and it's like, oh, this is fun.
Yeah, and then you're done. And you're like, wait, that's it. Oh, you know, but at the same time, it's satisfying. You know, like when it comes out on DVD, I'm buying it. You know, it's gonna happen. So, and then of course today I got to go see Star Trek, and my mind is.
We'll hold off on that for later.
That, yeah, that is amazing. Everyone should go see it.
Yes.
And it should totally beat Iron Man 3 in the box office because it's that amazing.
Okay, so let's hold off on that. So any new games you've been playing?
No new games. I've got nothing on the games. I do have this new podcast. Since we're looking right at our show notes here, I'll just jump to podcasts because I got nothing on games.
Okay.
You pitched it to me a few times. Dakota Ring Theater. Real fast.
It's
good stuff on there. And actually.
Remind me when I see you next weekend to bring you my iPad so you can read the first issue and maybe the second and third of the comic book because it's the same thing. It's the same
quality.
You can hear them talking.
Red Panda and Flying Squirrel?
Yep.
This is The Adventures of the Red Panda. And then also you're listening to Blackjack Justice too, right?
Oh, I'm listening to everything, even their season breaks, and that was going to be my next pitch. But
and I skipped those because I was so far behind on everything else, I didn't want to slow down.
Well, I am allowed to work or listen to these podcasts for 8 hours a day at work, so I get to burn through them real fast.
Well, and you're also not finding podcasts to listen to that are crap, so you can review them for the site.
Yeah,
let me tell you about Steve Austin.
We'll get to that. Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. My mother, who does not get into the things I get into, I love her dearly, but that is not her focus.
Yeah.
I made her listen to like two or three episodes of both, and she loved both of them.
Yeah.
Was trying to figure out how to get them so that she could listen to them too. So if that tells you anything, my 60-year-old mother, who just is not into stuff like that, really, really enjoyed them.
Yeah. During their first summer showcase, if I'm remembering this correctly, they did a spotlight on Icebox, and that's all it says is Icebox. It's another Canadian podcast. They did a horror story about a guy who goes into an ice fishing shack when there's a storm coming, and something terrorizes him through this story. I was literally scared while listening to this story. It's one guy. It's one guy out on the ice.
Philip, download that one right now.
Yes. It's amazing.
What was the name of that episode?
It's Summer Showcase 11 (parentheses) Spotlight on Icebox.
Oh, you know what? I don't have that far back. I'm going to have to go back and add those back on.
Yeah.
That's not a big deal. I don't have those.
Yeah, it's from the
long. Oh, no, I do. I do. There's 7, 8, 9. Spotlight on Icebox. Yep, got it.
There you go. It's a good story. I listened to a few more by them, and they're good stuff. Let's see. Also,
and they all run about and let's give them a little more information. They all run about half an hour, give or take.
Right.
And,
that's true.
I've reviewed both Blackjack Justice and Red Panda Adventures for the site, so the reviews are up there. But Greg Taylor, who does, it sounds like he organizes the entire thing for.
Yeah.
He doesn't write every single bit, but he does do a lot of the organization. All of his writing and all of that, it's all really, really good, and I've been really impressed.
Yeah,
it
is.
And it is done in the old-time...
They're pulp radio dramas. They do the whole sound effects, you know, all that stuff. It's really good. It's not a crummy podcast where people just sit around and talk. They perform a play, a radio play for you. It's a lot of fun, especially if you're into the pulp stuff like we are, obviously.
Yeah.
So
right on.
Let's see. So I got a couple more here. Some other guys at work turned me on to this podcast called Doug Loves Movies. Doug, shoot, I'm losing, I don't see his name, Doug something. Doug loves movies. He's a comedian out in Hollywood. He travels around everywhere, but he's based
out
of
Hollywood. Oh, it's the guy with the kind of weird eyes?
Yeah.
Okay.
He.
I mean, I'm not trying to knock the guy for his looks. No, his eyes are just a little.
Yeah, the guy,
a little.
You know him. You would know him if you saw him. He does a thing where he gets other comedians together and they do a show in front of an audience. The thing they're doing right now is they have a Leonard Maltin game is what it's called. He has comedians come on, and there's a movie reviewer called named Leonard Maltin who's been doing this forever and doing movie reviews forever. And he has the comedians try to name the movie that Leonard Maltin is reviewing based on how many based on the names that Leonard Maltin puts in the review. And so, like, he'll put 10 names in the review, and then the comedians bid, I can name that movie in, 9 names. And then another comedian goes, I can name it in 6 names, and so on and so forth. And then finally somebody says, name that movie, kind of like the name that song game. And then Doug will read off however many names he's supposed to, give a line or two from the review and the year of the movie. And they got to name the movie, and it's funny. Everybody who gets on there is hilarious, and it's a great time. Just listen to people talk and be funny. Let's see, I lost my channels. Hold on. I just discovered a new one called iPodcast Magic Missile. It's a role playing game podcast where they do actual plays and then talk about gaming news. And then the one that I really want to encourage everybody to go check out, the Jankcast, another site mostly dedicated to gaming news and gaming topics, but they do some actual play podcasts. If you like to listen to people play an actual game and have fun doing that, this is a good place to go. It is adults. They don't pull any punches. They're all 30 and older. So they will swear and describe acts that are, not meant for children's ears. So be aware of that. But the content they produce is good if you're okay with that kind of stuff. They play a lot of good stuff, and it's fun to listen to.
All right. Well, I guess that leaves it to me. So I just finished up Wheel of Time Book 7, and I'm going to put my Wheel of Time reading on hiatus for a minute, mostly because we just got contact with a company called Eggplant Publishing. They've sent me one of their books, and I should be getting 4 or 5 or 6 more sometime soon. So the first book wasn't very long. I've already finished it, but the others are going to bog me down. Plus, I'm kind of behind on some other stuff that I should be reading. And preparing and learning so that I can do a good podcast in about a month or two. We'll see.
Right.
And then
speaking of actual play podcasts.
Yeah. Speaking of actual play podcasts, you'll hear our ad here in a few minutes, but we did start a Kickstarter, so we are ramping up for Call of Cthulhu Masks of Nyarlathotep play podcast, and it's going to be a lot of fun. Nerds, tinyurl.com/nerdsdomainmasks, all one word. And then movies, I've been watching a lot of West Wing. We watched some X-Files. I'm all caught up on Community, went through all of that again. What else have I been watching? Man, I'm really looking forward to the next Criterion Collection movie because this one's in English, so that'll be fun. I bought Sentinels of the Multiverse for games. I bought that. We got to play that a little bit. I was kind of excited about that. That was really awesome. I'm glad I own it now. Now I just have to buy all the stupid expansions.
I guess that's something. Yeah, when I say I've been playing games, I have been playing a lot of games, but just, I saved them for my reviews.
Well, and we played King of Tokyo, and then I watched the very beginning of Will Wheaton play King of Tokyo the day after you put your review up.
Oh, yeah.
That's when it was released. So good timing on that one for on our part,
yeah,
I guess.
I guess.
And then I've been listening to a bunch of new podcasts, but those are mostly for reviews. I'll give you a quick rundown. Don't – if you ever see someone who you like to watch wrestle and his character was a hick and you really aren't into listening to hicks talk, don't download his podcast and think it might be good.
Wow.
It's not. So I downloaded the Steve Austin Show, or as he was known when he wrestled, the Stone Cold Steve Austin, and man, it's well produced, and I'm sure there's an audience for it, but I am not that audience. I am not that audience at all. At all. I couldn't be less of that audience. I could be. I take that back. I could almost not be less of that audience. But I did download and listen to a podcast called When Nerds Collide, which I then guest hosted for their 9th episode that just came out last Saturday or Sunday. One of their guys was out, and I offered to step in, and that was a lot of fun. We talked about comic books. It's a big comic book podcast. Talked about comic books and awkward moments, and I'm sure Johnny and Jesse. I'm sure Johnny and Jesse, or Johnny and Shirley, have already downloaded and listened to it.
Yep.
I'm sure Johnny and Shirley. Shirley. Did we lose Shirley?
I don't know.
Hello?
She's online.
Hello?
There
yeah,
she goes.
Yeah. Yeah, we're talking. Are you here?
Yeah, I'm here. Oh, my gosh. You guys have not heard a single thing that I've said the past, 15 minutes.
No, because you muted and didn't unmute.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, you've been quiet since we got done talking about your stuff.
Here at the Nerds Domain podcast, we're super, super professional and don't ever make silly mistakes.
Oh, my gosh.
It's all right.
Because I was, justified, and you just kept going, and I was like,
oh, justified,
so he's not going to acknowledge me or what?
I finished season 3 of Justified, and I haven't watched season 4 because it's not out yet. But anyway, so I'm sure Johnny and Shirley have both listened to When Nerds Collide. Johnny has. Shirley, you downloaded that episode, right?
Yeah, sure. I did. The one with you in it? Of course I did. What? I remember you talking about that one thing about, gosh, what was that?
Comic books.
That's
you
one.
Can safely say Wolverine or Batman also.
No, I don't believe Wolverine really came up.
Yeah, no, show. I talked about Colossus's love of Wolverine.
Oh, that's right, and the Ultimate Universe. Never mind. I forgot about that already.
So there's those, and then I'm listening to a couple others. I will say I've also learned something else, that if I listen to certain podcasts at 2x speed, it actually improves the podcast.
Wow.
There's one where the guy is – it is on the podcast app on iOS. And it should be on Downcast, which is available for Droid. I know you're not using that, but – Downcast
is
free, I believe.
Oh, well. I like this Podkicker. I guess that's an app I could have talked about. Podkicker. That's how I listen, and it does everything I want it to do. There's a free version with ads and a not-so-free version that I haven't bought yet, but I will someday. I promise.
Yeah. Well, they're still making the same money off the ads, so it's not like it's that big of a deal. And then I listened to a couple of podcasts. I do want to plug the Dystopic Boys again. They're really good friends of ours, or at least I think they're good friends of ours. They're willing to come on our podcast, so we're going to count them as friends.
Yes.
Two really nice guys.
I didn't know we were talking about comic books. I see. Like it said, highlights of the month in our notes, and it says et cetera at the end. I am reading Lady Death again.
Oh,
so.
Yay.
Whatever.
And then for apps, I just downloaded Candy Crush.
Oh my gosh, there's something in the programming. It's making people addicted. We're like somebody's getting ready to take over the world. I'm serious.
I honestly can see why it's addicted. I don't think it's going to be a problem for me, but whatever. And I also purchased and downloaded GarageBand, which is kind of awesome. Oh, and also Sing from Spool.
What is that?
It's kind of – you watched me play it. It's the same people that make the Magic Piano where I play the song.
Oh, right. It's karaoke.
Johnny, it's the Sing is almost karaoke, but you have to pay to get new songs, which is kind of lame. But it's kind of interesting. I don't think I've downloaded anything else new. I downloaded a soundboard that we can't currently use.
Why not?
Because I don't – because I don't have the right setup.
Oh, okay.
And the only sound bit I have is us saying hooray.
Hooray!
Hooray! And, yeah, I have a cat piano. I love that app. But we did get a huge – I got a huge stack of free comic books at Free Comic Book Day.
Yes.
So that was awesome.
I love Free Comic Book Day.
So that's,
did you like
that's
the
kind of,
steampunk one?
Which one?
Steampunk?
There were like eight.
Oh.
There were at least two that I've already read. I read the Steampunk Wizard of Oz. That was interesting. I kind of like it.
It was. I was less than thrilled with it only because it stopped before anything really happened. Like.
Yeah. Well. Yeah.
But it's
yeah.
A free comic book day. Like I'm
but
like.
That's Free Comic Book Day for you. I love the Atomic Robo one.
Well, yes, the Atomic Robo is amazing.
And then the other one was Steam something B Plan B or B B B D B D. I don't know. It's slightly smaller. It was good too. I don't remember if I read all it or not. Probably not since I don't remember. But yeah. So I think that will wrap up our little last bit of our month. So we're gonna take you guys into our ad break. And right after that, we're gonna hear from Jesse since he couldn't make it because he's lame.
Lame-o.
So we're going to bring we'll be right back after our ad and then our other host speaking. So hello everybody.
We just wanted to drop in here real quick and let you know about our Kickstarter.
We here at the Nerds Domain are so pleased you're listening to this podcast. I wanted to let you know about this excellent idea we have for another podcast. In fact, an evil play podcast full of mystery, intrigue, danger, and delightfully loyal cultists.
But to create such an excellent podcast that our faithful listeners deserve, we really need to enhance our recording equipment and setup and feed our loyal cultists? And it would help to have our costs covered with this newest endeavor. This is where you come in. We need the help of our fans and listeners. Yes, this means you.
We have a great ensemble of players that are making up a great ensemble of characters. So head over to Kickstarter.com and search for Nerds Domain, or you can go to tinyurl.com/nerdsdomainmasks. All of that's one word.
Oh, let us know if you like what you see by supporting us at any of the contributor levels. If you like what you see, one of our greatest things that you can do to help us succeed is pass the word around about our Kickstarter to all your friends and family.
I cannot express how delightfully excited we are to get this Kickstarter moving and get this game out to you, our loyal fans, listeners, and followers.
Thank you so much for your support and for checking out our Kickstarter. Feel free to let us know what you think by emailing us at nerdsdomain@gmail.com.
Now back to your normal episode.
Hey, Matt, are you okay over there?
Hi, this is Justin. Sorry I couldn't make it to the meeting today, the podcast. I figured I'd go ahead and call in with my ideas upon the topics that you guys are planning on discussing. First, under favorite RPG memory, that would have to be the first character I remember rolling up on my own. It was a wizard who had one hit point, named Jinx. I also happened to be the only person who could speak Drow, and an army of Drow happened to appear before us. The only thing I knew about wizards were they were pompous, so I said to them, "Come at us," and promptly died. It was the shortest lived character I ever created. The next subject appears to be favorite director. This one was a hard one for me to narrow down to just one. So first off, there's Sergio Leone. He's a spaghetti western director. He did such movies as The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly, Once Upon a Time in the West, and A Fistful of Dollars. There's very little I can say about it that's not positive. I like a good Western, and the Italian Westerns were some of the better storylines, And they were definitely more graphic than the ones we did here. Because I do like graphic movies. Another person, another favorite director of mine is Quentin Tarantino. He just recently did Django Unchained, which had a very spaghetti western feel to it. And he's honestly done something I admit, he's never done a movie I haven't enjoyed watching. Another person who's done a movie that I can honestly say I've liked everyone he's done is Woody Allen. It's a little off in left field, but every one of them's broken me out in hysterical laughter. The last subject is the first fantasy novel you remember reading. I have a bad memory, but the first fantasy novel I fully remember reading, it might not be a novel, but was Green Eggs and Ham. Other than that, I do remember A Wrinkle in Time and The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe being tossed in somewhere in my early years. I'm not exactly sure where. The first fantasy novel that I read outside of school was The Iliad. And that might not be classified as a fantasy novel, but it has the same elements. A hero's journey, larger-than-life events, epic characters, and so forth. Once again, I'm sorry I couldn't make it to the podcast. Catch y'all later.
All right. So that was our ad and Jesse. It's too bad that Jesse couldn't make it tonight, but we're glad that he got to at least contribute something. So we'll start with Johnny. Johnny, what's your favorite RPG memory?
That was pretty fun.
That time that you killed me?
I think he's referring to the LARP, the vampire LARP. Is that the one you were referring to there, Matt?
No.
I wasn't specifically.
Okay. When else have I killed you?
At all.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever gotten killed because you're usually running, or one of us is usually running, and I don't think I've ever killed your character while running a game because you're too weaselly.
Yeah, it's true because I'm so awesome.
See, I have a similar story to Jesse's about my first wizard. We went to, where did we go? It was north of Indy somewhere. Muncie? Was it all the way to Muncie? Wow, okay. So we went to this gaming / comic book store. I rolled up a wizard. I was not as cocky as Jesse was. Let's see if I can recall how that went down. We were trying to find out what this evil group of dwarves was doing. We're supposed to establish marching order, and I'm new to this, idea of playing games or playing Dungeons and Dragons. So, I turned to the more veteran players and I'm like, hey, so I'm a wizard. I have 4 hit points. I had a little bit better of a roll. What should I do exactly in this? I'm looking for advice, and everybody's like, oh, wizard, you're at the back of the party. It's the safest place. I said, sure, that sounds logical. So I get behind this group of, like, at least 3 fighter types and probably a rogue and a cleric. There were a lot of us. Mm-hmm. And we start walking down this hallway. And we pass a door that's locked, and the rogue tries to unlock it and fails. And the party decides, you know what, it's probably not really that important anyway. So we continue walking. And then as soon as I pass the doorway, it opens up. And an evil dwarf steps out behind me and shoots me with a crossbow. And I go down. We survive the fight, luckily enough. The heavy hitters pulled through. The cleric was able to heal me. Really, he wasted his spell because I only had 4 hit points and his spell healed a D8. And I think he rolled max if I remember correctly. It has been years. But undeterred, I stand up. I'm like, okay, I've got my magic missile ready. Guys, I think the dwarves are smarter than us. I'm not standing at the back of the party. So one of the heavy hitters come to the back of the line. I'll stand in the middle. So we turn the corner. We start walking down another hallway. About halfway down, the walls on either end of the hallway drop, and 2 doors in the middle of the hallway, again, directly next to my character, open up, and a badger jumps out of one side, and a dwarf with a crossbow jumps out of the other. My character did not survive the night because of that little scenario. So that was fun. And, you know, my wizards are all a little cagier now because of that, I imagine. So, you know, I guess it was my first real role-playing experience. So it's got to go up there as my favorites, as one of my favorites, if not the favorite.
All right. Shirley.
Yeah.
What do you got? Well, we're going to just hit the favorite RPG first. So, Shirley, what do you got?
Sure. Let's role play.
Yeah, sure. Go ahead.
I am going to have to say
it's on our
my most memorable RPG is from a LARP, and it's the one that me and Matt met at. It's a troop game. What was the name of Ward's game? I remember
Ward's game. I don't remember honestly.
It was Vam Requiem. Yeah, Indie by Night. That's what.
Yeah,
it was
Requiem, but I'm pretty
and
sure
I
it was Indie
them
by
online,
Night.
And I when I had found that RPG, when I found Indie by Night, I had taken a look at it and read it. And I was like, this sounds really cool, you know, people getting together and, you know, I'll go check it out. Well, it took me a year to go check them out. And then I finally showed up and they were doing they were playing to where some of the characters were wearing masks. So that made it very, very intriguing and exciting for me to watch, you know, these people play out these characters in these masks. And I was like, oh, you know, I'm going to be addicted to this. So I think I had left the night that I was a guest. And then about 6 months later, a friend I had met online was like, hey, I'm going to this, you know, LARP. And I was like, oh my gosh, I saw them online, blah, blah, blah. So I went ahead and went, and they helped me create a character because I didn't know anything. I didn't know about the rules system. I didn't know about the mechanics. I mean, I just went there because it looked cool and there was acting. Made a character. Her name was ended up being Catherine. She lived part of the time in London, part of the time here. Started making connections with the characters in game, and ended up you know, owning Broad Ripple, or a club in Broad Ripple, and left for London because I had to take care of some stuff over there. Or Catherine had to take care of some stuff over there, and left one of my you know, connections in charge of the bar that I own there, got back and my bar had been burned down.
Okay, let's stop right there for a second, because that's what you're about to hear is a one-sided story that is still contested to this day and does not in fact go the way she's about to describe it.
So,
however, please proceed.
I had been gone for a couple times from a few games due to life happening and me having to do things outside of the game. And I show back up, quote unquote, coming from London, and there's a bunch of new players there, and I'm like, oh my god, who are all these new players? I've never seen them before the whole time that I've been playing. And one of them just happens to be Matt. Well, come to find out from the guy who was watching my bar that Matt is the guy that burned down my bar along with his friend, which Scott Toriano played. I can't remember. It started with a V. What were your guys' names?
Ari?
So I get to this game,
and I can't remember Liam's character's name, but he's telling me all about this, and I am like livid. Like, I have bodied Catherine at this moment, and I am livid, and I walk up to Matt's character, and I just lay into him, and we are screaming literally at the top of our lungs at each other, and going back and forth to where all of the other characters and the players in the room were just like, whoa, what's going on? Are we going to have to call the police? And we ended our scene. And even the funny thing is, we had an offshoot room where, you know, people went and made the characters, like the people that ran the game, like, came out of that room to see what was going on. And that's how loud. But anyway, that's my favorite memory, my RPG memory is. And that's how Matt and I met, me walking up to him in character and just screaming at the top of my lungs at him. And I basically at the time I didn't know it. But so, Matt, your character was like very, so much stronger than my character, and he could have like just incinerated me right there. And I told him that this was my city. I was here before he was. He didn't belong here, and basically made him back down. So whatever.
So you've heard how it could have happened, much like Clue. This is how it really happened. So what had actually happened was that the person – I had never met Shirley because the game before I started, yeah. She disappeared. She's like, she's just stopped showing up. She had personal stuff, and it happens. I was handed the city as Prince because everybody else essentially said, 1, 2, 3, not it. And there was no way my character could understand there not being a Prince. It didn't make any sense. So I stepped into that role, got the proper support I needed – and took the city. Another player, Liam, whose character name I don't remember because it really was not that important, was a complete jerk about everything. And I told him that he would figure out what's going on or there would be repercussions. I forget what the dispute was, but it was territorial, and I believe it was Broad Ripple, but I don't remember. Broad Ripple's kind of a drinking area here in town. Right. So for vampires, it's kind of big because that's where they can go and feed easily. So I didn't burn the bar down. That is very key because I can still show you the emails that say exactly what happened. I had my child, one of the vampires I had embraced, not Scott Troiano's character, go and trash the place. That's it.
That's not what I heard.
Nothing else. A couple $1,000 worth of damage.
Mm-hmm.
Again, Liam might have exaggerated that a lot. So, we trashed the place, and as this woman came and started screaming at me, I didn't back down. I told her that she had the options of accepting me as her prince or getting out of my city, and she said, we'll see.
That was
and she
not
walked
what
away.
Happened.
There wasn't a back down there. There was, those are your two options. Unfortunately, the next game, some out-of-character stuff had happened, and we were going to lose our storytelling staff, and I made arrangements to step back away from my character so that I could help run the game. That's why Shirley's under the impression I backed down, because the next game I did discuss handing the city to her. But that's not the way it actually happened. So...
I guess we're going to stick to the history instead of the herstory. Whatever.
Yes, because, yeah. So, imagine, if you will, that we are in Forgotten Realms in Dungeons & Dragons. I am playing what is called a Warforged. So I am a living, constructed
Craig
being.
Hammerstrike.
And my name is... Craig... Hammerstrike. Crag is his first name. Hammerstrike is his last name because he carries a crag hammer. It's very simple. So imagine, if you will, that some gnomes had gotten out of hand and had stolen something, I think. I don't remember. And we had been tasked as a group to go track them down. So we find out finally that they're in an inn. So we go upstairs, we go to the end of the hall, and I kick in the door. And there's no one there except for two drakes.
And...
But the window's open behind the drakes. So what do you think I would do but
there
run
was a rope
and jump
out
the window to go find the gnomes? There was also a rope, so it was even more viable that they could have gone out that window. So I dive out the window, down two stories, get hurt really bad, climb back up the rope, fight my way past the drakes and into the room where the gnomes were hiding the whole time, because it turns out gnomes
yeah.
are invi-
That's
can go
not
invisible.
The way I
my character
it,
didn't know any better.
Because I was there. I don't remember my character. what was my character's name? Oh, my gosh. Sapphire. Okay. So we're warning him.
Sapphire.
We're like, hey, don't, you know, we got to check this out. No,
oh, no,
we got to check this out. Don't.
Rope,
no.
There's a rope.
And
they
all of a sudden,
window.
He's kicking down the door. And if you could imagine this Warforged running down this hall, this wooden hallway, kicking in this door, looks left, looks right, and then 2-3 steps and jumps out the window because that's what he thinks has happened.
I leapt clear over the brakes right out the window. It was amazing. It's the best thing I've ever done. The second best thing I've ever done. There's another story, but it involves Donnie's character. Or there's two other stories. One of them involves the same character, and one of them involves Donnie's character. But Johnnie might have tweaked the rules just a little bit to let me do something I probably shouldn't have
jumping
been able
off
to do.
The
I'm okay
ship,
with it.
Ripping wings off the demon and flying back onto the ship. Yeah. The
it's
charge
like,
rule and
yes,
you know, it's up
yes,
in the air
was.
As to whether that works that way. But it was awesome, so I allowed it. Plus, you had no other way to kill the demons flying alongside your airship. So, you know, you would have gone down.
Yeah. Well, and then there was the game with Craig where we got stuck in a horrible, horrible combat because the guy running the combat was a jerk. And I knew we were all going to die, so all the rest of the party ran while I stood
time?
And fended off the things that were killing us. And
Yeah,
that was with Butler at HoosierCon. But Scott was there, too. So I spent all of my own personal healing abilities, plus got healed a couple of times. The party ran, they all survived, and I died. And I felt like it was the best death I could have gotten with that character. Helping his friends escape while he held off the evil just was awesome. So let's move on to our movie corner.
Oh,
what's
great!
Your,
thanks,
Johnny. So we'll start with Shirley. Shirley, this time, what's your favorite director?
You know, I'm kind of like out on a limb on this. I really don't follow directors like you guys do. So, you guys, and over the past 2-3 years, I've been listening to you guys talk about directors and how you know they mold these movies, and I'm like, really? That's so. I've learned a lot from you guys and listening to you guys talk about the directors and how they mold the movies, and it's made me actually want to you know start paying attention to that and paying attention to you know how directors craft their movies. I would have to say because some of my favorite movies and the way that they're filmed, it would have to be. The Wachowski brothers, they've done, you know, a lot of Matrix-type movies, and I really, really, really loved The Matrix and the way that it was filmed and the way that the whole story evolved and came together. I also like Rob Cohen because I like the Fast and the Furious and Triple X movies. I like the way that those stories are put together, so I think... Like, those are the only two that I can think of right now. But, you know, over the past couple years, you've had me watch a lot of J.J. Abrams movies and going and seeing Star Trek Into Darkness last night and then actually seeing, like, the clip of him talking before we went to the movie. There was a thing on TV of him talking about how things were formed during the movie. And, I mean, he's just got this amazing gift for vision for directing and how to form that story. And then when we went and saw the movie last night, I was just like, whoa, okay, this is like, putting two and two together, and it totally made sense for me. So I would have to say the Wachowski brothers, which is now the Wachowski brother and sister, and Rob Cohen and J.J. Abrams. So
while we're on the subject of the Wachowski siblings,
there you go.
What is your – well, I mean, I don't want to be insensitive. It's just strange to me as a problem. How did you feel about Speed Racer? This, by the way, this impacts our friendship. If you answer incorrectly, We are no longer friends.
Oh, no.
Can you be more specific about
okay,
Speed Racer?
I've only seen one,
or 12
racer.
Options
yeah,
here.
I've only seen one Speed Racer movie that was put out a few years ago, several years ago.
That's the one in question. Yes.
Okay, the Wachowski brothers.
It.
Yes. I mean, okay. I feel very anxious at this movie. I have a lot of emotions rolling around inside of me. Visually, I felt like it was a lot like Tron. So,
sure.
I liked it in the way that it was like visually. I liked it. I liked the action. I liked the way that it was filmed because I liked Tron. I liked the way that Tron was filmed. But other than that, I didn't like dislike the movie.
We're still friends.
Okay. I didn't, like, there was nothing in the movie that would make me go, oh my God, I'm never watching that movie ever again.
Yeah.
Which I've had a few of them. So, but no, visually to me, it felt a lot like Tron, and I really liked Tron, though. Yeah, I liked them. Plus, my dad made race cars when I grew up in Germany. He actually created them, and he was a stock car racer. So I grew up with race cars a lot in my life. Therefore, you know, Matt, that's why I drive like I do. But so it was another race car movie, and I was just like, oh, you know, and I like that.
It got a pass
because
it's about race cars, so.
Yeah, so yeah. It got a pass.
That's okay. I like that answer. So. That works for me because I love that movie. So.
Oh, okay.
Yes. So. But but some people in this group will put it down.
Whoa.
So in other words, we made fun of me about it.
So I have no opinion.
Yeah, I think he may have just been teasing me.
The cartoons are, what's the word?
They're
I'm
just
looking
old.
For?
They're
horrendous. However, so is G.I. Joe, Transformers, Thundercats. I mean, it's a product of the time.
Yeah.
That's really what all it is. So, so Johnny,
so
Gore,
the first one that
directors?
Always comes to mind, oh God, now I'm going to. I was practicing saying it yesterday, and now I'm going to forget. Guillermo del Toro.
Mm-hmm. Guillermo.
Guillermo, yeah, that guy.
Yeah.
That guy.
Yeah, Pacific Rim.
This movie that comes
with
the summer I own in the movie draft.
Pan's Labyrinth, Hellboy, those were
loved
all great
that
films.
That movie.
Yeah. What, Pan's Labyrinth?
Yes.
Or Hellboy.
Well, I like Hellboy because I just like that type of comic, you know, action. And
right.
I love, God, what's his name? The actor. Perlman.
Ron Perlman.
Love him.
Yeah.
So, but Pan's Labyrinth was just so emotionally intriguing for me. I love that movie.
Yeah. Again, it's sad. I own the movie because I got a Amazon gift card and I had like $7 left on it that I wanted to spend, and I got Pan's Labyrinth with the gift card, and it's still downstairs on the DVD rack, wrapped up in the shrink wrap, because I have not gotten.
Oh my gosh!
Yeah.
I think you would like it, Johnny. You should break
so
that
that's
out.
That's my guilty little thing. I love the movie, but I haven't watched it since it, you know, came out of theaters. Oh no, I've seen it. I went to theater. It took me this long to buy it, and I still haven't watched it. I've owned it for like 6 months, and I haven't watched it. It's ridiculous. Number two on my list.
Yeah, I'm not against
different.
That movie, but it is.
Hello. Oh. I was.
Yeah.
Go
ahead. I didn't know if you were hearing me.
You're
go
not
ahead.
Against Pan's Labyrinth, but it's what different? Just weird for you?
It's weird. It's very. Yeah, it's very,
surreal.
What's the words I'm looking for? Twisted. Yeah, it's twisted and surreal. And I'm not, I'm not knocking it. It just gives it a very weird feeling, and it's it's not hard
to
follow.
You know
what?
And
just,
what I just thought of, what I
just
realized.
It's just weird.
I mean, not that we're talking about Pan's Labyrinth, but if you take all the action and everything out of Sucker Punch, like the feeling of Pan's Labyrinth and what just Sucker Punch the story would be like, it kind of has the same feeling.
Oh, yeah. And which is funny that you mentioned Sucker Punch, because I was about to go into number two directors, Zack Snyder, who did Sucker
Punch. Yep.
Yeah. So way to read my mind on that one. yeah. So, and then, yeah, I don't know. I could name, I mean, I love Abrams, Star Trek, and could go on for hours about that. So we'll save that for the next, you know, the show when we record that, which actually you're probably going to hear the other way around, but.
So did you realize that?
Yes. Which is
Del Toro also
that.
Did Blade 2. And is doing a movie called Pinocchio
do,
that is in pre-production right now.
He's getting ready to do like Werewolf or Frankenstein or something like that.
Maybe. I don't know. He's getting ready to do an Incredible Hulk TV episode. And Hellboy 3 is, of course, rumored. I'm sorry, I'm looking at his IMDb.
He swears that he's got Justice League Dark in the works. You know, he said that a few times.
But they're going to have to put out Justice League. Well, I mean, there's a couple other people I think that could do it well.
Yeah.
Potentially do it well.
You know, really going to happen, so. Hobbit? Why is Hobbit on here? He was involved in The Hobbit? Which you still...
I think...
it's on his pay, on Guillermo del
Toro's
page.
Where are you seeing
page.
Hobbit is
he
on anything?
Known for Pan's Labyrinth, Hellboy, The Hobbit.
Yes. He's writing Hobbit.
On The Hobbit?
He was a writer on Hobbit 1 to it. He's also he's also writer for, he wrote Mimic and then directed it.
Kung Fu Panda.
I saw that, which makes me like him even more. Hate to say it that way, but that's the truth. All right, well, so those are yours? Okay. So I was thinking about this, and I looked up J.J. Abrams. While you guys were talking, and then I realized that J.J. Abrams did, where'd it go? Well, first I was looking at his producer page, and I thought he did Cloverfield. I'm glad that I was wrong.
He just said that, yeah.
He was a producer on that. He was not a director.
Yep.
Yeah. He did Super 8, which was really, I think,
if you remember when we watched the little tidbit before we went to the movie last night, Super 8 is based on a little bit of his childhood experience.
Kind
not
of
the
his
monster,
life.
But
yeah. So I can get behind Abrams, but he's not one of my favorites. We'll see how
Star
he does
Wars
with Star Trek 7. That's what I meant. Yeah. Jeez. But honestly, I have to say, looking at film lists, my favorite director is Steven Spielberg, and I know it's a little cliche, but let me give you my reasons why. Raiders of the Lost Ark, E.T., all of the Indiana Jones movies, all of them, every one of them.
Oh.
Jurassic Park, Schindler's List, Saving Private Ryan, AI, Catch Me If You Can, The Terminal, Minority Report, War of the Worlds, and then there was Lincoln, and just that list of all these great movies that I wish I owned or wish I could watch again all the times that I want to watch it, they're all classics. And his list of crappy movies is not very long. I mean, there are some on here, like the fourth Indiana Jones movie, but the majority of these are not just crap movies. They're good. And I've been very impressed with what he's put out, and the more I look at it, I have to get behind him as a director. And my other favorite director would be Rupert Wyatt.
Ooh.
Who did Rise of the Planet of the Apes. I love I love the Planet of the Apes. It's one of my favorite movie series. The 70s and 80s ones, the first five are kind of corny and cheesy. Tim Burton did a pretty good job with the new one. It didn't go over as well as it could have, and there were some parts of it that were kind of bad.
You said Tim Burton. Why did you say Tim? Like, you were referring to the Mark Wahlberg?
Yes.
Planet of the Apes? Yeah, okay.
Yes, Tim Burton directed that.
Well, you switched gears on me because
I believe
Roach
too, if I remember
the one with James Franco, and then you...
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I went back, so the first five... The Planet of the Apes, Beneath the Planet of the Apes, Escape from the Planet of the Apes, Battle for the Planet of the Apes, I missed one. Conquest, then Battle. Conquest of the Planet of the Apes, and then Battle. Those are the first five, all in the same storyline. They were good. They got cheesy and crappy as they went on, but they were still pretty good. And then Tim Burton made his in, what, 2000? 2001? And it's not great. It was pretty good, but Rise of the Planet of the Apes was just hit everything so right for the series. You know, it shows all these great things, and I'm really excited about it. So that kind of those are my directors. I will say I am very excited about Ron Perlman and Del Toro getting back together. Because they're both Ross Perlman is in Pacific Rim with Charlie Hunt the guy that's on Sons of Anarchy with Ron Perlman, the main character, the main character on Sons of Anarchy. So and he's the main character in Pacific Rim. So I'm really kind of excited about that. So that's gonna be awesome. So let's go ahead and wrap this up with
your first
fantasy novel, and I will go first. My first fantasy novel has to be, sadly enough, what do you call it? The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. My mom read those to me when I was tiny. But my first fantasy novel that I actually pursued to read was Dragons of Autumn Twilight, the first book in the Dragonlance trilogy. Really loved it. Really still love it to this day. Probably ought to go back and reread it because it's a classic. And I really think that's what got me into gaming and all the things that I'm doing now. So, Johnny.
Hello?
Johnny?
Did
we lose? Did we lose you, Johnny?
I don't remember. Yeah, I'm...
I can see you here. I can hear you now. Okay, so Shirley, what was your first fantasy novel?
Hey.
Don't count, so you have to go past those for 85.
Oh, gosh, what was it? Hold on.
Wow, you both are really good at this. So, Johnny, do you have any ideas now while we wait for Shirley?
Oh, my gosh, I'm trying to remember what the guy's name is.
My first real big sci-fi book was, since we're going to vamp for
time.
Okay,
go ahead.
My first big sci-fi book was from Kevin Anderson, and it was called something. It was part of the Star Wars series. He wrote a trilogy, the Jedi Academy trilogy. So it was set after the sixth movie and like 7 or 8 years, and he's setting up an academy on Yavin and
craziness. Yes.
Zoos,
oh my
and
gosh.
So Shirley,
and the thing
you're ready?
Is, I was just like thinking about him earlier. Okay. So it's Terry Goodkind, and I believe the first book in that series was The Sword of Truth, I think, or Wizard's First Rule. Wizard's First Rule is the one, the very first like fantasy novel that I read that really had like any kind of an emotional impact on me. Like I've read a lot of John Saul books. I picked him up, I think, at the beginning of high school, and like I tried to read every single John Saul book that ever came out, and he just like his imagery is akin to Anne Rice. I love her books. But the very first fantasy one that I had was Terry Goodkind's Wizard First Rule, and that's the first book in a series that, I mean, it's totally different from the Wheel of Time, but there's almost just as many books. So.
Really? 1994 was the first? I've read that book, too. It's really good. But, like, that long, huh? Like, I would have put...
Yeah. It's called the Sword of Truth series. Yeah.
Yeah. That's that's interesting. That, well, I mean, the book was published in 94. I'm assuming you picked it up around that time.
Yeah. And the thing is, you know, that just lets you know how old I am. But my dad, I mean, when I was a kid, he would just be reading all the time and reading all the time. And I really didn't start, like, pick up a book to read it until I was halfway through high school. It really just wasn't, you know, something they did. I wrote a lot. I loved writing. I just didn't pick up books to read them. It felt like a waste of time, and I was always a free spirit, so I was always going out with my friends and stuff. So when I got out of high school and had my first son, I was like, okay, it's time for me to settle down a little bit, and that's when I started getting into reading.
Hmm.
Yeah, it's weird.
I'm having a bad
time. So, Johnny, your first fantasy novel?
The first one that I could remember in school was Phantom Tollbooth. They made us read that in sixth grade, I think. Wrinkle in Time was to us in fifth grade. But honestly, I was reading Sword and Sorcery stories from the moment I could read. So, I mean, it's hard to say what my first novel was. I remember finding a book of Greek mythology stories in my library at the elementary school that had so much dust on it that the librarians like thought I had brought it in by myself. So they didn't know it existed in their library. It was buried in the back so far, and I just dug it out somehow. And from the moment I discovered Greek mythology, I was hooked on magic and, you know, fighting monsters and all of that. The first book I remember discussing with anyone else was one of the Dragonlance series, which I can't find the title of, and it's in my closet somewhere. It involved a red wizard trying to survive in a dwarven settlement. He got stuck there somehow. And the thing about Dragonlance is if you don't believe in magic, it can't affect you. Is it not Dragonlance? Am I wrong?
Are you sure that's Dragonlance?
Maybe.
I don't
it was
think
definitely
so,
a Disney book. It had the Wizards of the Coast or Tor publisher. It was definitely Wizards of the Coast, but it was in the world that had white wizards, red wizards, and black wizards, which was where Raceland lived, which is Dragonlance.
But I don't remember that rule that if you didn't believe in magic, it couldn't hurt you.
But in this book, the rule was. This was.
But
a,
you
this
know,
was
you
a
might
flashback.
Have come in later.
Like, this
maybe
dwarven
I
settlement
don't know.
Had turned into a kingdom by the time Raceland was around. And this was the establishment. It was a flashback. So
okay.
I think the rules of magic changed a little bit somehow. But this was the way this was the setup.
That's possible because that
this red wizard couldn't do anything because dwarves didn't believe magic could affect them. You know, because dwarves had a racial bonus to save versus magic. Since magic couldn't affect them, it must not be real. So, like, he's going around trying to do all this stuff and help these dwarves, and he fights off all these monsters, and they're like, we didn't see you do anything. You stood there and waved your hands. Meanwhile, 15 of our guys are dead now, and we killed a monster. He's like, no, I cast a fireball at it. We didn't see that. And then the book ends with he tries to one more spell on the king and convince the king of the dwarves that magic is real, and he turns himself into a horse. And he can't do magic because anymore because the king of the dwarves disbelieves so hard, he bounced the spell back on the wizard. And it was just amazing and convoluted. Yeah. And I'll dig it out and we'll talk about it again in the future.
Yeah.
Because it's still in my box of books.
Okay.
So that was the first one I remember sharing with my friends at school. So I'll figure that one out and let you know about it. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, I think that's going to wrap it up for us tonight. So that's it for us, I guess, on the Nerds Domain podcast. Thanks for listening. You can always send us an email at nerdsdomain@gmail.com, or you can catch us on Twitter. I'm at Quiet. Johnny is at Fool's Mask. Shirley is at SNeds70. Jesse is at J_Kimmett, or you can catch us at Nerds Domain. You can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/nerdsdomain. And we want to thank Josh Schopp for our music, as always. If you enjoyed our podcast, we encourage you to give us a review on iTunes and let us know what you think. We'll talk to you real soon.